Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. I give you glory and praise. Thank you because you are here with us. And we thank you for the glory of God and his mercy in our lives. We declare this morning that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. And let that light shine into our hearts today. The revelation of the glory of God, even in the face of Jesus Christ. Let it shine into our lives this morning as we rejoice in the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's talk about the glory of God this morning. Praise God. We've talked about his glory with respect to his mercy. You know, how he himself, you know, described his glory as, you know, wrapped up in his mercy and the abundance of his goodness and grace in answer to Moses' question, a quest to see, to know his glory. He came and revealed himself and talked about his mercy and his goodness and his compassion and all of that. Well, let me ask you this. When you think, I want you to participate in this little exercise, if you would. When you think of the glory of God, write one word that comes to mind in the chat room, if you would. One word, maybe two or three, but you know, just write something. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the glory of God? You know, what is that thing that comes to mind? I'm going to give you a minute or so to write. Don't think, just write. The first thing that comes to mind, just write it without thinking. When you think of the glory of God, you know, or someone mentions the glory of God, if I mention the glory of God now, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Just write it. It doesn't need much thinking. Just write it. Let me see what people are writing. Praise the Lord. Let me see here. People are saying, someone said victory. Someone said they are speechless. Woohoo. Someone said love. Some said holiness. Some said majestic, supernatural, unmatched. Oh my goodness. His presence. Talks of sunrise. And again, his presence. His awesomeness. My goodness. And all kinds of, you know, forever. You know, someone even, you know, talk about, you know, how it looks in the sunset. Wow. Someone said Jesus and who he is. Yeah. That's a good one. Babies. Well, babies do declare the glory of God. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, the praise and glory of God will go. Someone says majesty, his presence. You know, and so on and so forth. Childbirth and beautiful and holiness, majesty, power, and on, glory of God, you know, even in the man that he made in his own glory. I like that one. Someone put that there and said, man is the glory of God. That's correct. Praise God. You know, on and on and on. So thank you for your shares. You can continue to put that there throughout the lesson. It'll be a part of this lesson. You know, let's talk about the glory of God. Let's talk about him being a king of glory, you know, and all the things that scripture has to say about him. In the book of Psalm 24 and verse 10, it says, well, who is this king of glory? What is his name? Well, called him the Lord of hosts. And he said, he is the king of glory. You know, but there's much more to glory. You know, when you talk about glory, there is a song in my language, to the Yoruba language, and, you know, the song, you know, says something like this. The one who takes glory and redefines glory. From glory to glory, I mean, you know, he just redefines glory. Obatikisu, Obatikisu, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't rest, you know. Obatogbe ogo, kari ogo, latino ogo, losino ogo, you know, those of you who understand Yoruba language. Obatogbe ogo, kari ogo, latino ogo, lọ sínú ogo ọba tí kì í sùn ọba tí kì í rẹ ta ló dàbí rẹ o alágbára ta ló dàbí rẹ jésù ta ló dàbí rẹ o alágbára ọba tó gbé ogo kárí ogo látinú ogo lọ sínú ogo ọba tí kì í sùn ọba tí kì í rẹ ta ló dàbí rẹ o alágbára alágbára atóbi jù ọba ogo adúpẹ o alágbára atóbi jù ọba ogo adúpẹ o. Now you may not understand all of that, but I can't even translate it. The one that emanates with glory and redefines glory, takes glory to glory, gives a new definition to glory. I mean, you can go on and on. Praise God. You know, it's just amazing. The only way you can sing that song is sing it in the Yoruba language. There's no other language that can compare. You know, I'm biased like that. But, you know, this is it. The glory of God. How do you describe glory? You know, sometimes, you know, we use all these superlatives to describe God. You know, he's the holiest, he's the greatest, he's greater than the greatest, he's higher than the highest. But you see, that's just our vocabulary. That's the best that we can do. In fact, honestly, if you say that he's higher than the highest, there's still a measure to that. You know, whatever the highest is, there's still a measure to it. I mean, his glory is immeasurable. You know, there are some scriptures I want to read to you from the scriptures, I mean, the Bible, just some verses, just to show. But first, I want to just talk, you know, from my heart about the glory of God. Praise God. And for us to even understand this glory, you know, we got to go back to the beginning. One person said, you know, man's the glory of God, and there is no better way, you know, to describe his glory than what he had in mind. You know, I mean, he had all this excellence. And as he was creating all of the beautiful things that he was making, as he imagined them, this is the way I always describe it. He created them, called them forth, created them, called them forth, created them, you know, called them forth and created them. And finally, well, you know, what else can he imagine? So he imagined himself. Hallelujah. Imagined himself. I mean, that's the height of imagination. He imagined everything else, created them all. He was in his mind, just called it for. His mind called it for. His mind called it for. Finally, said, then came to the height of all of his imagination, which is himself. Glory to God. And then he said, I will make man in my own image. Ooh. Glory to God. If we can only understand that. And you know, there was one time he wanted to bless a man that he loved and he handpicked. His name was Abraham. And after he obeyed the Lord, God wanted to bless him. And so God said, well, let me make this an oath, you know, confirm this blessing with an oath. And generally speaking, because people, when they want to make an oath, they look for somebody greater to swear by. So God himself said, well, let me search for somebody greater to make this oath by. But he looked everywhere, couldn't find nobody. So he swore by himself. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, there's nobody like the Lord. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? You know, many scriptures talk about that. You know, the glory of God encapsulated, you know, even as great as he is, encapsulated and put it upon the man. Whereupon we learned, how do we know that? Well, because Romans 3:23 tells us. He said, well, the man all of us sinned and fell short of the glory of God. So at one point in time, the man had the glory of God. And if you think about it, it was the glory of God upon him, you know, that gave him the dominion. You know, all the animals and all the creation, you know that till today, animals, they still have this sense. They can smell adrenaline and different things like it's been proven, you know, and, you know, they can smell fear even. You know, and they can also smell boldness, so, you know. And they look them in the eye, they put their eye down. But, you know, when you're afraid, they can smell that too. And there was something that was oozing out of Adam at the beginning. It was the glory of God, just oozing out of him. And all creation could feel it. They could see it. They could sense it. They looked to him and they were enlightened. And everything was in, you know, obedience, so to speak. They were all docile. You know, there was nothing wild at first while the glory of God was there. You know, it was when he fell short of the glory of God. That's when, well, no instruction, no order of alignment was coming from him anymore. And also they just started doing whatever they want. They became wild. Plants became wild. Everything just out of kilter. Was it like that when the glory of God was upon the man? Think about that. You know, think about that. But let's talk about his glory in so many ways. All the things that you guys have said, his majesty, his beauty, excellence, holy. Now, holy is one word because people, you know, don't know the word, really know the word holy, what it means. Well, you know, the way that the seraphims, cherubims, and everybody over there, that's all they say. Holy, holy, holy. Because they just can't find anything else to say. You just say holy. Isaiah, when he saw the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, he said, the Lord, in the year when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You know, he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And he saw God's entourage, you know, all the people that was around him and so forth, you know, jumping and running and back and forth and so on. I mean, this, you know, he said, look, and all they could say, you know, the creatures that was with him, you know, sometimes they call them seraphims, sometimes they call them cherubims, you know, around, just around him. And all they could say was holy, holy, holy. That's all they could say. Couldn't say too much more. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah chapter 6. You know, these seraphims, that's what they said. And in verse 3, and they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. That's right. Now, everything about the Lord is his glory. We talk about everything being his mercy. It's also his glory. You know, it is the glory of God. It was in his glory. He did whatever he did. It was by his glory. And he did it for his glory. He did it for his pleasure, you know, and you can think about glory in terms of beauty. Think about, you know, in terms of excellence of majesty or power, whatever. In human terms, that's what we think about. When you say something is glorious, I mean, people use that word anyhow. Oh my goodness, that was glorious. You know, that was wonderful. All these things we say. Well, you know, in whatever capacity we can think of, you know, when we think of God's glory, he actually exceeds that because our mind cannot comprehend the fullness of his glory. Now, in terms of, you know, physical appearance, you know, one time, you know, when Moses was in his presence for quite a while, when he came down, his face was actually shining with the glory of God. And the people couldn't even steadfastly look upon his face, we're told. They tell him, this is way too bright. And they say he should put on a veil, you know, because he himself didn't realize it, but his face was glowing like that. Well, that's one way that people think of the glory of God. You know, yeah. I mean that, you know, but the Lord soon realized, of course, he knew that too, quickly that, look, these people can't endure the glory. You know, so if he's always coming and radiating, people will run away. But they say, we can't endure that. I mean, when his voice came like a thunder, they ran away. When his glory showed like the pillar of fire on Mount Sinai, you know, the Bible says Mount Sinai was altogether on a fire, you know, in a fire and a flame and so forth. You know, they ran away. I mean, they couldn't enjoy it. So God changed it a little bit, you know, because, you know, he didn't want the people to run away and they see his presence or see some of his glory, but they always were running away. Well, so he couched it. Praise the Lord, you know, and, but his glory, it is the glory of God. You know, everything that he does is his glory. The beauty, the glory of God. And this glory he had by himself. In fact, Jesus said, the glory, you know, that I had with you before the world began. You know, what was that glory? What was it that he had with God before the world began? What was that glory? Let's talk about what Jesus said. You can find that in John chapter 17. The glory that I had with you before the world began. Even that glory, you know, he said, well, I want to restore to that glory and I share that glory with them. You know, Jesus couched that glory in a flash. It was the Holy Spirit was inside of him without a measure, but yet hidden in a way that wouldn't scare people away. And so, you know, but one day he said, well, I'm going to show you something. So he took them to, in Matthew 17, to this place we now call Mount Transfiguration. And he was transfigured. This was the thing that he covered up, so to speak. Shrouded the thing, couched it inside our body, you know, so people wouldn't be scared of. But one day, he let him. You know, Moses, he always wanted to see that glory. He saw it too. Another version of it, he saw it on Mount Transfiguration. He did too. Because Jesus was transfigured in glory and he was bright, like white light. And Moses was there to witness it. He said, he saw it again in another dimension. And, you know, on and on and on, we can just talk about his glory. But let's see what Jesus had to say about the glory of God. And then I'll read to you some scriptures about his glory. You know, here's what Jesus had to say in this incredible prayer that he was praying in John chapter 17. He said, look, the glory that you have given me, that's John 17 and verse 22, I have also given them. Praise the Lord. And he also said, look, I pray that those whom you have given me will be with me where I am so that they can behold my glory, which thou hast given me. Because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Well, so did he love us also before the foundation of the world. In fact, everything that Christ inherited, well, we also inherit. We're called joint heirs with God. I mean, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, he said, in the beginning of this prayer, in John chapter 17, he said, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world began. That's in verse 5. You know, he said, Father, glorify thy Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. And then he said, that glory I had with thee, because he, you know, he kind of put that aside, became the Son of Man. But now, having done all, he's about to re-enter into that glory. I said, well, give me, put that glory back upon me, that I may also put it on them. And the glory that God gave to Christ, Christ gave to us. Now, you might remember that God at one point in time, made a statement about his glory. What was that statement about him, you know, not sharing his glory with anybody? I mean, the glory of God belongs to him. He's not going to share it. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. This is what he said. Now, but that was then. And Jesus, in his prayer now, said, well, yeah, I know that's what the Father said, but you gave it to me, and you've given me commandment to give to anybody I want. He even said it about eternal life. He said, this is the commandment I received of my Father, that all that comes to me, I should give them eternal life, and none of them should perish, and I should raise them up on the last day. Well, and he said, even all these people were yours, but you gave them to me. So now I give to them what you gave to me, the glory of God, which we had in the beginning. I confer upon them. I confer upon you. Hallelujah. And there's no argument from the Father, because just like Adam, at one time, when God stepped back and said, hey, Adam, you got this. Whatever you say goes. And Adam, you know, he will bring one of the animals. Adam will say, well, Lord said, well, what are you going to call this one? So just, he would just say the name. He didn't have to think. He had the knowledge of God. He just knew everything. And whatever he said, well, that was it. And whatever he did was it. Same way, when the second Adam comes, the Father says, well, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that I should put all things into his hands. And so he said, well, whatever you say goes. He said, well, this commandment I received of my Father, that I should give life to whosoever I will. My Father gave me the authority to do that. And I can give whosoever I will the glory. And he chose to give us this glory. Hallelujah. Now, if that's not mind-boggling, I don't know what else is. Now, it doesn't quite yet appear, you know, when we look at ourselves today. 1 John 3 tells us that, it said, look, we already are the sons of God in the image of Christ and with the glory of God. But when you look at it right now, it doesn't look like that. You know, the people, just because it doesn't look like that, you know, sometimes we don't really know what we have. You know, but it's coming. He said, look, you already are, even though it doesn't quite yet appear, you know, what God wants us to be like. It's not quite there. It is there, but it's not quite yet there, you know, but we're evolving into it. And he said, well, when he shall appear, by the time he appears, we will have evolved completely into that. Yeah, but being transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. You know, beautiful, beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Beautiful. It says that, you know, when we look in a mirror right now, well, what do you see? Sometimes you see your image, you know, that's what you see. You may not, something may look not right, and you try to fix it. That's what people see in a mirror. Well, but this verse here is telling you that when you look in the mirror, what you will be seeing is the glory of God. Because that will be your reflection. It's going to be the glory of God that you will see in that mirror. And one day, what you see the next day is looking brighter. It's the same mirror that you were looking at yesterday. But today, you're seeing something different. It's getting brighter and brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. He said, you know, the path of the righteous is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. Well, the face, your reflection in the mirror, you know, because it's being transformed, you know, it's being transformed, we're told, you know, changed into the image, is God's image, from glory to glory. So one day, this glory is there. The next day, the glory that excelleth the previous glory. The day after that, and so on. We're just you know, keep looking more and more and more and more like him. Praise the Lord. So next time you look in the mirror, what do you see? Praise God. Look for the glory. Don't look for how your hair is, you know, and how your makeup looks. Look for his glory in that mirror. That's right. It's supposed to be a reflection of his glory. And let's talk about Christ being the reflection of his glory. You know, I mean, everything that was in God couched in Christ and revealed to us. You know, in the book of Colossians, you know, chapter 1, he talks about Christ being, in verse 15, the image of the invisible God. That's right. The firstborn of every creature, the word that came, you know, the beginning of the creation of God. God spoke first and then creation after by that word. You know, and that was the very God. And he said, look, when you look at Christ, he's the image of the invisible God. By him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him and for his glory. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We're talking about Christ here. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and is the firstborn from the dead. We know we're talking about Christ. And in him, you know, he might have preeminence. All things. For it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. The entire glory of God would dwell inside of Christ. Hallelujah. And this same glory, Jesus said, well, I've given unto you. I've given unto you. I mean, Christ, the King of glory. The scripture I opened with in Psalm 24 said, who is this King of glory? Well, we tie that back to his kingdom. We talked about the kingdom series. If you're a king, you have a kingdom. Well, it looks as if his kingdom is called glory because he's called King of glory. It can also be called King of Shalom, which is King of Shalom. It can also be called King of Righteousness. Well, because righteousness is his throne. The scepter of his throne is the scepter of righteousness. So he's the King of Shalom or Salem. He's the King of Righteousness. He's also the King of Glory. Hallelujah. You know, now, this glory, which is tied up in his kingdom, because he's a king, Jesus said in Luke 22, what did he say about that? He said, well, behold, I appoint unto you a kingdom, even as my Father has appointed you. Luke 22 and verse 29. Or even as my Father has appointed me, sorry. So the glory and the kingdom that God put on the Christ, he said, it is Father's good pleasure to give it to you as well. But we're getting it only through Christ. God gave it to Christ, and Christ gave it to us. Praise God. You know, now, all of these things that we are talking about show the mind of God for us. All the things that God had in store, that we should be the glory of God. The scripture says the man is the glory of God. That's why he shouldn't cover his head. It's the glory of God. The woman is the glory of the man. You know, but the man is the glory of God. Now, that's why you ought to be careful now. Yeah, don't say anything about any man because they are created in the image and likeness of God. Well, right now, don't look like it because this is a fallen man, the fallen state. We don't look anything like the glory of God. But in the redeemed state, the man will be returned to the glory of God. Fear not, Jesus said in Luke 12 and 32, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And this glory his glory, the glory of God, we're told, shall be revealed. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, it says the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Well, revealed indicates to us that it is couched at the moment. It is shrouded in some kind of hidden way. But because Jesus himself said nothing hidden shall, there's nothing that's hidden that shall not be uncovered. Nothing secret that shall not be known. Well, Isaiah prophesies this and says, the glory of God shall be revealed. Well, how? He said, well, all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah 40 and verse 5. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's coming. And what is it going to look like? Well, upon the, the heavens already know, Psalm 19 talks about it. Say the heavens already know about his glory. And in fact, these heavens, they declare the glory of God. If you want to look at the glory of God, you go out in the heavens in the night, take a strong telescope and see the amazing. Nobody, science till today, they can't figure all of it out. It's almost like something is constantly being created. They know about the Milky Way. They know about the galaxy. They know about the, universe. But it seems like there's no end to it. They can't, find out the end of it. Well, because there is no end to it. it's not just that it seems like that. Indeed, there is no end to it. But the heavens already know it. Psalm 19 verse 1 said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The expanse. And just think of how great. Till today, they can't measure the heavens. The firmament shows his handiwork day unto day, uttering speech. Declaring glory of God to us. Well, at the end of the age, we're coming there. There is a given prophecy and revelation of the glory of God. We're told that the revelation, the knowledge of the glory of God in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Adam had it, but he lost it. And it was like nobody could even figure out what he lost. It's just amazing what he lost, He lost it. But at the end, the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Again, and the sons of the kingdom, the first fruits of the earth. That's right. that's right. Those are the real ones that they are together with Christ. Christ said, I and my children and my brethren. Yeah, for signs and wonders, children you've given me. Christ was a special order of that first fruits. But he cannot be alone. He said it himself. John 12 and 24. If his corn of wheat is alone, well, if I bite alone, then he's alone. But when he falls to the ground and dies, then he brings forth a lot. So Christ died so that he can bring forth a lot. So together, Christ, a special order of that first fruits, then everybody else in their order, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when God picks those people up finally, Jesus said, well, I have received commandment of my Father, to give eternal life to these ones. And I have also received commandment and the power to give them my glory, the glory that you gave me at the beginning, I have given to them. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. It is wonderful to know, that Jesus said, nobody takes his life from him. He said, I lay down myself. Nobody takes his life from me. I literally lay it down myself. And I have the power to take it again. And everyone that God has given to him, he said, well, I will lose none of them. I've received commandment not only to give them eternal life, but to also give them this glory. Remember, the son can do nothing of himself. You know, so they will give eternal life to give to everyone that comes to him. And those that the Father has appointed, you know, he will give unto them his glory as well. To give eternal life. That's also part of his glory. Eternal life was in him. He gave it to us. And everyone that comes to him, he gives them this life. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 20, he said, this life was in Christ. And he gave it to us. Those that come to him. And give them the glory of God as well. Eternal life is also an aspect of the glory of God. Think about it. That life was in Christ. And it was the life that was in Christ that was the light of men. Ha! Eternal life. Eternal life. A portion of God that is given to us that will make us to live forever. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's read 1 John, you know, chapter 5 and verse 20. I'm going to read this quickly. I'm looking up here. Time is going. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 says that we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. Now this is the true God. There's no other God. And eternal life. The very understanding of Christ is what gives us eternal life. And that eternal life contains, I mean, it's a portion of his glory of God. The glory of God contains eternal life. He gives it to us. And that makes us to live and now live forever. Let's look at some declarations that Jesus made in John chapter 10. He was talking about himself being the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep, you know. And he said, look, my sheep hear my voice, they follow them, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can pluck them out of my hands. And these are the things that Jesus said. And this eternal life is the glory that Jesus had with Father from the beginning, because he was before the world began. According to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, he said, Bethlehem, though thou be the smallest out of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that's going to be governor over my people, whose goings forth have been from of old. He was there from beginning, even before the beginning. I mean, we can't even say beginning, because God had no beginning. When you talk about beginning, that's only the beginning of his creation. But he himself was self-existent. Praise the Lord. Now, so, all of this glory of God, we can't even describe it. Words fail us to describe his glory. But there's a dimension of the glory that I'm bringing today. The dimension of the Spirit of God. Eternal life that he has given us. He carries his glory and put upon us. And when we walk in him, we may demonstrate that glory. That's a portion of the glory of God. Now, there's a portion that the rest of us are thinking of. When we talk of glory, we're thinking of this incredible beauty and all this stuff and so forth. Yeah, That's really what's in eternal life. Once we get to figure it out, you know, the beauty. Now, I know that because we are kind of trapped in this present world, we have to deal with things that doesn't look like the glory of God. But the glory of God is here. Remember when the seraphims were talking, they said, the earth is full of his glory. Well, if you look, it doesn't look like the glory of God and all the things that are happening in the world. Yet, in their own dimension, in their own sphere, and in their own realm, what they see is the glory of God. So what we need to do is figure out how to transcend into that glory. Praise God. Jesus was walking in that glory all the time. He was walking in that light all the time. And many things that are hidden inside the glory of God, you know, even the salvation that God brings to people, it's the glory of God. You know, scripture says it's the glory of God, you know, the glory of the King, glory of God to have multitudes of people, the crown of the Lord. And Jesus, he knows how to go after that glory for the glory. I mean, for this, to give that glory to God, not to himself. He did not grab at anything, gave all the glory to God. He taught his disciples to pray. He said, look, say, thine is that glory, and thine is that kingdom, and that is the power. Where is the glory? Well, it's couched in the King of glory. We have to open your eyes to see and to understand. But there's an understanding that's coming into our hearts. God has given us an understanding to know the knowledge of the glory of God. It's not just to see. Habakkuk didn't say, you know, the people will be full of seeing the glory of God. You know, but to know the glory of God. Got to know it. You know, so to know it, you have to learn it and understand it. Where is the glory of God? What is it all about? Well, part of this series is to show us what the glory of God. First, we talked about his glory being tied to his mercy. And we've covered that part. Now we're talking about the glory being tied to the eternal life that he's giving us. Because that's all part of his glory. And it is his glory. You know, the kingdom is his. The glory is his. The majesty is his. We're talking about that. And people must come to the knowledge of the glory of God. Not just to see it, but we have to learn it. We have to know it. Remember, and you know, meditate on that verse. Habakkuk 2 and 14. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge. He didn't just say the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Well, the seraphims said that. The seraphims could see it. They said the earth is filled with the glory of God. They were in that dimension. We have to learn how to get into it. Habakkuk said that. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, whereas they could see it and were operating in that realm, we have to learn how to get into that realm of the glory of God. And that's what I'm trying to say here. Time would fail me today to really get into it. We'll probably get into it in some more lessons. But at this point, let me read to you some verses about the glory of God. You know, throughout the scriptures, there are so many things said about the glory of God. Let's just read some of them, you know, and the things also, before we even begin to read what the Bible says about the glory of God, let's read what God said. Our purpose, our direction, our drive should be, you know, that all things should be to the glory of God. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 tells you that. He said, look, whatever you do, that's right. Even where you eat, drink, whatever, do all to the glory of God. When we are driven by the glory of God, I mean, driven by God getting glory, then we are walking in the purpose that God intended for us. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Well, you look at yourself in the mirror, it doesn't look quite like it. Look again. Praise God. Look again until you see. You know, you got to look and see. It's something that you are not seeing. See, God is not looking outside, you know, after this outward casing that you have. He's looking at the inner man, the heart. What's in your heart, saith the Lord? Well, even only I can tell. Well, the heart sometimes is wicked, desperately wicked and deceitful. But the Lord knows the heart. Now, that's the man that is unredeemed. But when we are redeemed, God said, I'll give them a new heart. Take away the stony heart. Give them a new heart. Now, when your heart begins to be changed, the glory of God begins to come in there. The body may still look the same, but there's something. In fact, the Bible says that even though outward man even perish, he may get a little few wrinkles and so forth. But the inwardly, the glory of God is there. And you are renewed from glory to glory on the inside. The next time you look at the mirror, if all you see is the outside casing, well, look again. Look carefully until you can see. And say, well, maybe you are missing something. And look again. You know, and begin to see the glory of God. You know, these were the, you know, some of these things, you know, when God appeared to them, even in the olden days, they saw an aspect of his glory. In the book of Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, the Bible says that the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire, you know, on top of the mountain in the sight of the eyes of the children of Israel. That's Exodus 24 and 17. I mean, it was like fire. It was literally like fire. Well, in fact, John, when he saw Jesus again on the Isle of Patmos, he said his eyes were like fire. His feet were burning with fire and so forth. And all these things, a glory, a fire around him. His voice was like thunders. Begin to see something differently. You know, begin to see something differently. Now, at the end of the age, you fast forward to Revelation 21. God will bring back, you know, this city full of the glory of God. Revelation 21 verse 11 says, you know, it comes. It has a fullness of the glory of God. The light of it was like a stone, most precious, even like jasper, like crystal. Well, that's one aspect of the glory of God. And God is going to make us see it. Praise God. He will make us see it. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 8 talks about us experiencing some of the glory of God when we go into consecration. Can experience some of it. We do have some consecration coming at the end of this week. You know, this Friday through Sunday, we've announced it. Check it on WhatsApp. Now, thy light shall break forth as the morning. Thy health shall spring forth speedily. All of these things are couched. And thy righteousness go before you. The glory of the Lord cover you. Hallelujah. That's right. Even your very world, even behind you, everywhere. The glory of the Lord will cover you. Praise God. Now there is a mystery. This is a mystery. When we're talking about the glory of God, it's a mystery. It is even the glory of God that the Gentiles should come into the commonwealth of the household of the chosen, which were initially Israel. You know, in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, it says, you know, God wants to make known the riches of this glory that we're talking about. And it's a mystery, you know, among you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now that's another dimension of his glory. Christ. Hallelujah. Now, when you have that Christ, which is eternal life, that's a dimension of glory. So you see that you know, there are just so many aspects of the glory of God throughout the scriptures. But let's read a few more about the glory of God. Remember, we've talked about, you know, going from glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Now, the psalmist, he wrote about the glory of God like no man ever, you know. Be thou exalted, O God, he said, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. That was his prayer. And then, you know, he wants to get into that glory. He knows it's there, but he needs to see it. And God to reveal it, you know. And then he said that in Psalm 57 verse 5. He said it again in Psalm 108 and verse 5. And then, you know, when the angels, when they came to announce Christ's birth, one of the things that was said was, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, God can also become our glory when we begin to understand that revelation. Psalmist said in Psalm 3 verse 3, thou, O Lord, art a shield unto me, my glory. Now, his glory is what becomes our glory. Praise God. And he is the one that gives us that glory. Jesus said, he gives it to us. And Jesus asked Martha a question. I'm just reading through some places where I talk about the glory of God real quickly. He asked Martha a question. He said, look, the way to see the glory of God is by faith. In John chapter 11 verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, did I not say unto you that if thou wouldest only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So ladies and gentlemen, in order for us to see and enter into this glory, we have to do it by faith. Praise God. When you believe the promises of God, and Jesus told her, your brother will rise again, and later told her that, look, if you believe it, you'll see that glory. So all the works that Jesus and the Father can do in our lives, the Holy Spirit, you know, whether miracles, raising of dead, or even bringing salvation, bringing redemption, causing righteousness to spring forth in the earth and all these things, it's all for the glory of God. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, hallelujah, 1 Timothy 1:17, only wise God, unto him be glory, honor, forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Let's talk a little more about the riches of his glory. This riches of his glory can also bring fulfillment to all our needs. When you begin to understand it, in Philippians 4:19, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory. This is what we've been talking about. Riches of God's glory. That's how he'll supply your need. But you must understand it. That's how God is going to do it. Praise the Lord. It's not supply your need through your job, supply your need through your bank account, supply your need through this and that, your investments. Well, I may be part of it, but the Lord will supply your need according to his glory, riches in his glory, the riches of his glory. Praise God. Now, God wants us to obtain this glory that we're talking about. You can read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, the Lord has called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus gave it to us. But this is what the gospel is all about. Come and obtain the glory of God. And that's what he's saying. There is something about the glory of God that needs to be taught as part of the communication of the gospel. That's what this verse is saying. We are called by our gospel, the one gospel that Paul was preaching, so that you may understand how to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's an encouragement in the scriptures that, you know, sometimes when you're going through stuff, you say, wow, you know, if I'm supposed to attain the glory, why am I going through all this stuff? So Paul put something there by the Spirit of God for encouragement. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 says, our light affliction is for a moment. What you're going through at the moment, well, we don't want to make light of it, but Paul is saying when you compare it with the eternal weight of God's glory, you will see that it's actually light. It doesn't look light, doesn't feel light, but in this grand scheme of things, you know, there is something that God is using. He's working it out, cooking up something, taking your affliction, taking the good, taking the bad, taking the ugly, working, putting it all together, come up with something that is going to serve, preparing a meal, a sumptuous meal. And that's why we ask you, can you smell what he's cooking? Yeah, he's getting it ready. And it will reveal the knowledge of this eternal weight of glory. Praise the Lord. Well, we're out of time. I'm going to leave it there. I may continue this tomorrow because this subject is so deep. It's so deep. Again, let me summarize what we've talked about. We've talked about the glory of God in terms of, in the previous 2 days, we talked about it in terms of his mercy. Today, we talked about it in terms of what you think the glory of God is. I asked you a question at the beginning, and there were many answers. Now, we talked about it in the context of today's lesson as what God has given to us in Christ. Everything that he gave to us in Christ, beginning at the cross and his resurrection, gave us the concept of salvation and redemption. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit. All of that that he gave us, which is called eternal life together. When you package it together, it's a package of eternal life. You open that package, you see salvation, you see deliverance, you see healing, you see Holy Spirit, you see this. It's all package. All of that aspect of his glory. And we must learn. We must understand that earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We're going to see it. We're going to know it. And we're beginning to see it. You look beyond what you see on the outside. Don't think that that's the glory of God. You know, man was made in the image and glory of God, not because of what he looks like on the outside, but what's on the inside. Hallelujah. There's a spirit in man. In that spirit, where the glory of God will be revealed finally. Praise God. Now, let me wrap it up there. And I pray that the Lord will give us understanding. Even the majesty of the glory of God, when you talk of it in physical terms, it's something that makes us want to quake and fall down. Isaiah, when he saw that glory, he fell down. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And that's what the glory of God sometimes will also show in our lives. I gave this illustration before that, you know, like here in Arizona, it's always sunny. And someday when it's really sunny outside and you peel back those blinds from the window, you see the sun rays coming inside. Then you see all those particles flying around. You know, it's not the sun that put the dust there. The dust was there all the time. You just couldn't see it. Now, when you peel back the curtains, then the sun rays come in. Then you see all the dust particles flying around. And say, oh, see. Now, the rays of the sun is like the glory of God. And the glory of God is being revealed. It actually exposes some things that need to be corrected. In the life of Isaiah, it exposed something that he needed a Holy Ghost branding on his mouth. And the Lord did that. And when he branded his mouth, he became a mighty prophet. Spoke the word of God. You know, so the glory of God will reveal to us sometimes that, hey, you know, we're just nothing. And that will drive us to want more of the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. The word of God that is forever settled in heaven, let it be settled also in our hearts. The glory that Jesus said, I had with you from the beginning. He said, I have given it also unto them. Teach us, Lord, how to experience that glory. If you've already given it to us, why are we not then walking in it? Help us, Lord, to experience, embrace the grace, experience walking in the glory that God has given us, learning the knowledge of your glory in every aspect of our life, looking for the glory of God in everything we do. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Lord, teach us that we will walk in the glory of God. And I say to everyone that's in this room today and everyone that hears this later on, arise and shine. For the glory of God is risen upon thee. Your glory has come. It's risen upon thee. The light of God is upon you now. The glory of God is upon you. There may be gross darkness upon the world, but upon you shall be seen the glory of God. And you yourself will see it. You begin to see it when you look in the mirror. Begin to see how God is transforming your life from glory to glory. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. We cannot describe the essence of your glory, Lord. It's beyond words. But we say thine is the glory, thine is the honor, thine is the majesty, thine is the dominion, the kingdom, the wisdom, the power forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.